Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Should you go to College A or should you go to College B? Should you continue in the career that you currently have, or should you maybe make a change and start doing something different? Should you leave your investments right where they're at, or withdraw all of your money and invest in something else? Where should you go on vacation next year? What should you have for dinner? Mexican? Chinese? Life is full of decisions. Many times, we don't know how those decisions will affect our future. Many times, we don't know how these decisions will make a difference in our life in any way, shape, or form. And the hard part is that there's not just one decision to make in life. There's a multitude of decisions in our lives every day. Hundreds, thousands upon thousands of decisions that some of them we have to make in a split second. That's exactly the story of Ruth. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem and Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. Now, we're not really familiar with famines in our country, at least not in recent history. Famine. So imagine, for instance, that you went to the grocery store to get some food and there wasn't any there. And so he drove to the next town over, and there wasn't any there either. And it got to this point, and you had so few groceries at home, that you were wondering how you were going to feed your family their next meal. That's famine. So what do? Would you just try to tough it out and pray that another grocery truck's going to come to your store and fill the shelves again? Or do you maybe pack up your stuff into a car and you head to the next state over? Or somewhere across the country. Or maybe even to a completely different country. That's what Naomi and Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion are dealing with. Do they rough it out in Bethlehem and maybe make it through? Or should they go and seek something different? And so they go. Was it right? Or was it wrong? Well, they didn't know when they made the decision, but we'll find out here in a minute. They pack up and they go. And over the course of time, what happens is Elimelech actually dies. And so his sons, they take these Moabite wives, and then they live there for 10 years, and then they die. All three men die. And I can't imagine what would be going through your mind. If you've ever made a poor decision in your life, you start to second guess yourself, right? Well, what if we hadn't come to Moab? Might my husband and my two sons survive if we stayed in Israel? Or maybe they actually would have died even sooner of starvation. Maybe we would all be dead. Or what if we went to a country other than Moab? What if we went somewhere completely different? Would things have turned out differently? It's hard when you're a widow in the ancient world. There's not much you can do to provide opportunity for yourself. There was no life insurance policies. There were no government programs. Instead, all of your financial well-being, all of your financial support was wrapped up in the fact that you had a husband who you could rely on to provide for you. And if something, heaven forbid, happens to your husband, well, then you have sons who you can rely on to provide for you. Well, here we find Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, and they don't have any of it. Their options? Well, you could go beg at the city gate with the cripples and those who are unable to work. But again, how many outstretched hands are going to get filled? What do? Even if someone does decide to put something into their hand, will it be enough to keep them alive? Is there even another option? Ruth finds herself and with Naomi and Orpah, and somehow they overhear the fact that there is food back in the land of Judah. And so they decide, we're going to go back to Bethlehem. But even then, there is this time of uncertainty. She's been gone for 10 years. Is her family even still there? Maybe they all died in a famine. Maybe they all moved off to other countries after she had left. Maybe she'll be better off in Moab. What should she do? She goes back. Is that right or wrong? Well, they don't know for sure. They're just trying to make the best decisions that they can, given the circumstances that have come down to them. And so what happens is she goes back. But again, even on the way back to Bethlehem, it comes to her knowledge, I don't know what I'm going back to. And she doesn't want to subject her daughters-in-law to a life of begging in Bethlehem. It'd be better for them to stay near their family in Moab. My daughters-in-law, go back to your families. And now Orpah and Ruth have a decision to make. Do I go? Or do I stay? Orpah, of course, kisses her mother-in-law and goes back to her people. But Ruth makes one of the most profound confessions of faith in the scriptures. Where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God, and your people will be my people. She disowns her own heritage, her own life, her own people, and she becomes an Israelite in that moment by faith. She confesses that God is going to take care of her and Naomi as they return back to Bethlehem. Is that the right decision or the wrong decision? Well, while they didn't know it at the time, they were making all of the right decisions. Even in the midst of uncertainty. The truth is that we've all been at points in our lives where we didn't know what to do. We've all been at points in our lives when we come to hard choices that just have to be made. Maybe someone has, you know, caused some problem in a relationship and you have to decide how you're going to deal with it. Are you going to be gracious or are you going to be angry? That decision is going to impact your life. Maybe there's a financial decision that you have to make. And it could mean retirement or no retirement. It could mean, if you invest correctly, that your kids get to go to college. Or if you invest poorly, student loans. What do you do? Maybe you have to make a hard decision because someone you love is seemingly close to heaven and you have to make the decision on whether or not to turn off the life support. What's right? What's wrong? In the aftermath of a decision, we have to deal with the consequences. 1 minute, life can be going smoothly, and in the very next, it seems like there's no sure and certain way through. What do you do? I'm sure Naomi and Ruth felt the same way. But all they could do was make a decision based on their faith. Based on the word of God that had been given to them. And we see that throughout the rest of the book, God continues to bless their decisions over and over and over again. He takes these two women and he makes them great in the country of Israel. He makes them great in the whole history of salvation, because you know who Ruth is? She's great-grandmother to King David. She's part of the messianic line. Here's the deal. What if Naomi and Elimelech and the two sons never decided to go to Moab? Is there a Ruth? Is there a great-grandmother for King David? My friends, we should all follow the example of Ruth and Naomi, because even throughout whatever decisions they make, God was going to use it. He was going to use it for his purposes. He already had it set to do that. And so we should recognize that in life, when decisions come to us, what do? Well, we consider God's word, we consider our faith, and we make the decision trusting that God is going to use it in whatever way he knows is best. And yes, sometimes that means we're going to make the wrong choice. And God's going to have to do a miracle to make it work out for the good of his people. But he does. Over and over again, he shows us that our decisions will lead us into what is good and right. Because in the midst of an uncertain world, in the midst of times when we just can't see a clear way through, God is always with us. And you can be certain of that. If he was with the people of the Old Testament through their decisions, he'll be with you through your decisions too. And if you want proof, you need look no further than your Savior. Again, like I said, Ruth was a blessing. The Savior comes through this bloodline because of God's servant Ruth. But while Jesus made all the right decisions in his life, while he never misstepped once, we see who he associates with. He has disciples. One was named Judas, who made the decision to betray Christ with a kiss. One was named Peter, who denied Jesus three times. We have James and John, who are called the sons of thunder, and they were always seeking after some sort of earthly glory and earthly power and this earthly authority. And Jesus has to tell them that they're barking up the wrong tree, that they got the wrong idea. But Jesus is still content to associate himself with these people who he know are going to make all the wrong choices. And he does it because that's the way of salvation. And what does Jesus do with these bad decisions? What does he do with all these bad choices? He flips them around. If Judas does not betray Christ with a kiss, how does he get carried away to trial? How does he end up making his way to the cross? And we don't rejoice in the fact a bad decision was made, but we recognize how God uses that for good. You have salvation because of Judas' betrayal. What's more, Peter denies Christ three times. How would we know the magnitude of Christ's grace for us unless he first poured it out to his servant Peter? We have a God who loves us in the midst of these bad decisions we make. We wouldn't know about the true nature of Christ's kingdom, how he's ushering in something eternal and heavenly, if James and John didn't first have their misconceptions on why Christ came. Even the Pharisees, enemies of Christ, they pull Jesus bound before Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate, who wants nothing to do with this trial whatsoever, condemns Jesus. But by it, our sins are forgiven. While they made the wrong choice, Jesus made the right one. He willingly was beaten. He willingly was nailed to a cross. He willingly shed his blood for you. Because while sometimes our choices are a little bit cloudy, Jesus always has perfect clarity. His choice is always for you, for your good, for your benefit, for your forgiveness, for your life, and for your salvation. And so he comes near. He comes to those whom he has chosen to serve. He delivers his words of salvation into your ears, even words from of old. He unfolds this salvation story that way you might know his great love for you. He visits you on this altar. He chooses to make himself present in, with, and under bread and wine for your forgiveness. He makes you an eternal promise in baptism, as he chooses you to be his child, to be one who is covered with his blood, to be one who is redeemed. My friends, our choices are uncertain. We always try to make wise choices, right? But in the midst of our choices, the more important thing is that Jesus chooses you. And if we keep that in perspective every day of our life, we can rest assured in the choices we make, even when we make a bad one. Because there are things that are sure and certain in this life, like the great love that God has for you in Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your decisions in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.